Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. All right, welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. It is teaser trailer week, and we are doing Happy Gilmore, which was one of our poll topics up on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Justin DeSandro. JD, a generic hello to you.
No, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit more in depth. My stomach hurts a little bit. My feet hurt a little bit. You want to know how I'm doing? I need a Tums.
A tum-tum?
My tum-tum feels like my bum-bum.
So you say tum-tum, and I automatically think of Three Ninjas.
You need to cut that shit out right now. You cannot sway the audience before we launch the poll.
So thank you guys for hitting the download button on the episode. Please help support the show. Just rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Take a few minutes, write a little review. Won't take you more than a minute. We have two new episodes every week. This is the teaser trailer for Happy Gilmore, and the full episode will drop on Wednesday, which is our more lengthy show where we're going to break down the movie scene by scene and get into some current cinema and what's going on in Hollywood. So follow us on social media. We're at Back in Time Pod on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. We are facebook.com/backintimepod. Justin, you know, we've got this DeLorean here. Why don't we hop back to last week and talk a little bit about Dirty Work? We had a special guest. I thought it was a really fun episode. What'd you think of Dirty Work? What'd you hear?
Obviously, anybody that loves Dirty Work had a great time listening to us bullshit all over Dirty Work. I had a blast doing it. I know Jesse had a blast doing it. I think you had an okay time. Right. You know, there's always somebody in the threesome that gets a little left out. I apologize to you.
I've had better.
That's what she said. No, it was a good topic. It was well received, and I was happy that so many fans came out to show it some love. So thank you guys for tuning in and checking it out. It's a cult classic movie, and for those of you who have yet to listen to it or watch the movie, by all means, dig in and dive and get yourself dirty.
Absolutely. It, you know, for me, you know, just that was a movie I have not watched in a long time, and I'm glad that you recommended it. And I feel like you've been on a roll lately. You know, Mario Brothers, and then you recommended we do Dirty Work. You're batting 100 lately.
You mean 1,000?
Hey, 100% is 1,000, really, isn't it?
Are you quoting Super Mario Brothers now?
So with it being teaser trailer, let's jump into the original trailer. And I want to start by just getting some, I guess, beginning thoughts from you, JD. When's the first time you remember watching Happy Gilmore? This movie comes out 1996.
96?
We're 11.
Billy Madison was 94?
I believe 95? So, 94, 95.
Oh, man. I remember the first time that I saw this movie was at my uncle's house in Indiana. We had rented it on VHS. And the crazy thing is he had a Laserdisc player at the time. In that same time frame, we had watched RoboCop on Laserdisc.
Nice.
Yeah, I know, right? That's how they rocked in Indiana. Oh, you would know. You're from Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
He lived in Indianapolis, though. That's kind of like Mecca.
Cool. It's a couple hours from where I grew up.
And we watched it, and damn it if we didn't watch it like three times that weekend. Like we couldn't get enough of it. And then, and even better is like we instantly like went miniature golfing.
Were you trying to swing like him or putt like him?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I did.
Uncle, why don't they have any hockey stick putters here? I don't get it.
Did they ever like, you know, did they ever merchandise that?
They, I mean, sure did. Yeah.
To eBay and find one of those.
Yeah, I know there are some hockey teams that will actually sell them, like in their pro shop. And I believe for a long time, golf pro shops were selling them too, right after the movie.
Count me in. Beam me back. Well, we got the DeLorean, so let's figure it out and let's pick them up and let's get dirty.
Hey, were you much of a golfer? Have you ever gotten into that sport?
I'm big into driving ranges. I'm big into putt-putt, mini golf. My grandpa called it peewee golf. I've done a couple of courses. I'm pretty damn near eagling every single one. Don't ever challenge me. I'll never prove it to you. I find it to be a fun game, and I look forward to being 65 and playing daily.
Well, apparently all you need is goofy pants and a fat ass.
Well, I've got neither of those right now. So what should I do first? Should I get the goofy pants or the fat ass first?
I'd go with the goofy pants. Save the fat ass for later in life.
Okay. I appreciate your input into my bodily structure.
I'm looking out for you, man. That's what I'm here for. But yeah, I have to say, I love this movie for a couple of reasons. One, I grew up golfing with my dad. So I've been golfing since I was like 8 years old. And when in season here in Indiana, when you can actually go outside, I probably golf twice a week. But I wear shorts, so no goofy pants. And I got a flat ass, so no issues there.
You're like Louis C.K.
So let's talk a little bit about the trailer here. I personally can't remember ever seeing the trailer. And if I did, it's been at least 22 years. So why don't we, as we always do, pull it up on YouTube, and I'm going to give you guys the code to type in here. So we're going to put in Happy Gilmore official trailer number one. I can't believe I'm about to say this again for the second week in a row, but it's titled Christopher McDonald Movie. I'm not kidding. The same as Dirty Work. What is with the movie trailer vault in putting Christopher McDonald as the head of every movie?
Well, why would they not?
Because Adam Sandler's the star in this one.
Is he, though? We're going to have a very rousing conversation about who, in fact, is the star of this movie, because I think that there's a lot of different levels of stardom.
That's true. You have a mediocre point there.
You know what? I was gonna make a sexual joke, but just because you're in your own little realm tonight, you do not get it.
I'm in my bubble. Bubble boy.
Yeah, you're Jake Gyllenhaaling. That's what bubble boy you are tonight.
Ooh, that hurts. That hurts bad. Well, let's go ahead and you have it pulled up on your end. I'm going to give a 3-2-1 countdown here, and we're going to hit play and listen together, and we'll be back on the other side with our thoughts on the trailer here. So 3-2-1 click.
For 400 years, golf has been a gentleman's game. A game of tradition, etiquette, and above all, sportsmanship. Until now.
Y'all ready for this?
Meet Happy Gilmore. He was a hockey player.
That's my putt, baby! Don't you ever touch my putt!
Who was skating on thin ice. But when his grandma needed his help...
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000. We're going to have to sell the house to someone else.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
He discovered a new talent.
The house is like 400 yards away.
That's unbelievable.
Now, he's going from the links.
Step right up, folks. See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
To the links.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
I'm your caddy.
He's gonna be on the tour. That's super.
He's got the swing. He's got the drive.
He shoots, he scores!
He's got the balls.
Oh, God, I hurt a little, but I'm all right.
What a large and economically diverse crowd here at Invitational. I guess it's the new tour sensation, Happy Gilmore.
Hey, if I saw myself in clothes like those, I'd have to kick my own ass.
And while he's trying to keep Granny out of the rest home...
I'm telling you, this place is perfect. You're gonna make friends in no time.
Driving the game of golf.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Straight into the ground.
Damn you people, this is golf.
I'm Bob Barker. Looks like you and I are going to be playing together today. This guy sucks. All right, let's go.
Universal Pictures presents Adam Sandler.
The price is wrong, Bob.
As golf's missing link, Happy Gilmore.
What do you think of the trailer here, JD?
I'm with you. I don't think that I've seen it or can't remember having watched it, or I don't have nostalgia to like seeing it on the television and being like, oh my gosh, I need to see this. But it was a pretty solid trailer. Like, I think it gives a great setup to the premise of the movie. It strings in the story a little bit. It really highlights Adam Sandler. We get to see some Shooter McGavin, and then we get to see Bob Barker lay in the SmackDown. I mean, for me, if this was the first time I've ever seen the trailer, and I wasn't familiar with the movie, I would be curious to what's going on here.
Definitely. This trailer was way better than I had expected it to be. And I would have to say, after watching this, I'm even more pumped to go back and watch this movie for the first time in a while. Little gripe is I don't think we had enough Chubbs in here. There wasn't much of Chubbs. He's a little bit of a mystery to me. And he's got such an awesome role in the movie. Why do you think they went light on the Chubbs?
Yeah, they went. Why did they go light on the Chubbs? I feel like Carl Weathers in this time frame was kind of not a hard sell, but a difficult actor to sort of be in the place that he was in this movie that he was, you know, being that we all know him from Predator. We all know him from as an action star. We all know him as Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
And here now we have him as Chubbs. I don't know. I think that they had so much great cast power and star power in this movie that focusing and selling Adam Sandler, maybe that made more sense. And to me, I personally am totally okay with that, because Chubb's parts in this movie, you know, Carl Weathers is hilarious. And so not seeing that and not having that wasted makes his parts all the more fresh.
I agree. It's interesting that they lean a lot on Bob Barker here. And I wonder if that's to try and get that older demographic. What do you think about that?
But at the same time, all of us kids relate to Bob Barker for when we were homesick. And what did you do when you were homesick in grade school? You woke up and you watched The Price is Right.
Yep.
When The Price is Right is over, you played Sonic the Hedgehog, and then your mom came home and you pretended you were sick again. At least that's what I did.
No, you're right on. That pretty much sums it up. Let's jump into some box office numbers here. So Happy Gilmore was released to cinema on February 16th, 1996 to 2,022 screens with a runtime of 92 minutes. The film was distributed by Universal and had a production budget of $12 million. Happy Gilmore ranked as the number two movie at the box office opening weekend, pulling in a respectable $8.5 million. The second week, the film dropped to the number four spot, bringing in a little bit over $6 million, bringing the 10-day total to $18.4 million, recouping their budget, plus a little extra. JD, is that more or less of what you would have thought in the first 10 days?
You know, we've discussed this over and over from many different movies, how they don't necessarily come plunging out of the gate. So, you know, given what we know about other similar movies, I'm not entirely surprised, but I would have guessed that it had done better.
Are you expecting the schoolyard effect to take play here?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. So the film would spend only 6 weeks at the box office and brought in a total domestic gross of $38,824,099. They brought in another $2.3 million in foreign, bringing the worldwide total to $42,205,099. So it looks like the schoolyard effect really didn't help much here in Happy Gilmore, and that's a big surprise to me. I kind of thought this would be one of those movies that lingered on the theaters for like 14, 15 weeks and kept piling in money, staying at like the fourth or fifth spot, but they ended up getting out of cinema pretty quick. What do you think there? What are your thoughts?
I'm definitely surprised, especially knowing that Adam Sandler had already made his mark in terms of, you know, owning the schoolyard for quotes and for shtick. Like, we knew who he was. So what happened, people of the past? Yeah. How did we let this slip through the cracks?
Yeah, it definitely feels like it was maybe either pulled too early or, you know, somebody at Universal just wasn't behind this movie as much as maybe they should have been.
Yeah, but if it's getting diminishing returns over and over and the schoolyard effect isn't taking place, they're just wasting money by renting theater space as opposed to, you know, letting the movie store pay them to put it on the shelves.
Great point. Yeah, you can't keep just bleeding money. That's not going to help anybody. But still, $42 million on a $12 million budget. I mean, that's pretty much back-to-back hits. I mean, that's pretty much on par with Billy Madison, if I'm remembering correctly. It was actually the next Adam Sandler film that I think really took off, which I can get some clarification on here in a minute. But let's talk a little bit about the VHS release. So that came out on VHS to Blockbuster on May 27th, 1997. I know you mentioned that's when you think you saw it for the first time. I know that's the first time I saw it. Did you own Happy Gilmore on VHS?
I did. I owned it on VHS. I own it on DVD. If I'm not mistaken, I'm fairly certain it was released on Blu-ray, and I think I own that as well, if only just to own it on Laserdisc, because why the hell not?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? So let's do some top 10 for the week of February 16th, 1996, which was President's Day weekend. So we got some pretty good movies in here. Number one movie at the box office was Broken Arrow. That's a John Travolta and Christian Slater movie.
That'll be a future episode. Let's just cut the shit and say it, Kyle. That will be a future episode.
It's definitely safe to say future episode for sure.
I will fight you on this.
Or at least a future poll topic involving Face Off, Con Air, and something else.
The Rock?
Oh, there you go. I'd have to vote for The Rock.
That's a great poll topic right there.
Yeah, it is. We got to put that up. Number two movie was Happy Gilmore, beating out Muppet Treasure Island, which came in at number three. City Hall was number four, also debuting that same weekend. Number five was Mr. Holland's Opus. Number six, Mr. Wrong, debuting that weekend as well. Number seven, Black Sheep, the Chris Farley, David Spade movie, was in its third week. Number eight, Leaving Las Vegas. Number nine, Sense and Sensibility. Number 10, Dead Man Walking. So, JD, what do you think of that list of movies? We get some pretty good choices there.
It's definitely a good weekend for movies. I almost feel like I saw Broken Arrow in theaters. Man, I haven't seen that movie in forever. I'm so just focused in on Broken Arrow, and I can't think of anything else. And as we discussed before, I'm partial to Black Sheep over Tommy Boy. Just got to say it.
I really like Black Sheep. I don't like it more than Tommy Boy, but I do like it a lot.
See, I know, you know, give me all the shit that you want. When it comes to Chris Farley, I'm not like a crazy dedicated fan. I think his shtick was funny.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I was just, you know, I'm the same way with Will Ferrell. Like, you know, like, okay, yeah, that was funny. You're still doing that, huh? But I think that in Black Sheep, it was, to me, I thought he gave a better performance than he did in Tommy Boy. It was a little more pulled back.
Well, that's fair to say. Let's talk about Adam Sandler for a minute. You know, this is one of his kind of coming out parties, so to speak. You know, he's on, I believe, SNL at that point still in 96. He's got a one big movie under his belt, which was Billy Madison, that came out in 95. So I stand corrected on that from earlier. If you had to guess, I'm going to put you on the spot here, so you are going to guess. What is his highest grossing live action movie? So taking out his voiceover work that he's done.
It's such a tough question because you can make a case for any of those movies. You can say, you know, Billy Madison and then Happy Gilmore. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm gonna say Anger Management just because Jack Nicholson with his co-tag, John C. Reilly, I feel like that movie probably performed decently well. I think that it was less just for kids and had a great adult audience to it. And after coming off of Mr. Deeds, where you got to see Adam Sandler perform a little less silly, and see, he had some acting chops in that movie, in my opinion. So I'm going to guess Anger Management.
Okay. Anger Management does not crack the top four.
Oh, shit.
So if you're taking out
sound, though,
if you're taking out Hotel Transylvania, which is his highest grossing movie, number one movie in his career is Big Daddy. Number two, Grown Ups. And number three was Waterboy. And they're all separated within 2.2 million of each other. So Big Daddy did 163, Grown Ups did 162, and Waterboy did 161.4. Pretty consistent there on his numbers.
Yeah, that's what makes it hard to predict, because outside of his downward spiral, none of his movies were really, even when Click hit theaters, like despite it being a, you know, I doubt we'll ever review Click, but people still came to bat and they still came to see it.
Yeah, most of his movies hit the 100 million mark after Happy Gilmore. So I think this movie might have been the launching point for him where people like, he is putting out good stuff and, you know, we enjoy his movies and like the next one just blew up. So yeah, interesting. Now let's do some critic response here. So what we'll do, and as usual, if you're a longtime listener of the teaser trailer episode, I'm going to have JD try and guess how the critic and audience responded to Happy Gilmore based off of Rotten Tomatoes. And we'll use their tomato meter here. So JD, how do you think Happy Gilmore scored with the critics here?
Oh gosh. Comedies are so difficult to try to run.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Because it's hit or miss. I mean, comedy as it is, it's all, you know, it's all subjective to your perception of it. I mean, if you go into a comedy movie and you just do not like Adam Sandler's shtick, guess what? You're gonna hate Happy Gilmore.
True.
You can love the story behind it. You can love the actors. You can love the villainous Shooter McGavin all you want. I'm just buying myself time here. I'm just gonna say 54%.
Okay, great. And how about the audience score?
63.
Okay. The critics reviewed this, and it was a fresh 60%, just barely fresh. 1% away from being far off. What about the audience score? That was 85% certified fresh. So like you said, you know, comedies aren't always the easiest to guess. I know I'm going to dump this on you every week without giving you any hints or anything, but are you surprised at all by the percentage numbers here?
I am, especially since we looked at what the audience reviewed last week's episode, and I was, you know, we were both surprised that it was sort of
lower than we thought.
Yeah, because in Dirty Work is hilarious,
right?
So I don't know. I think that's a little bit high for this movie. I don't know that I would rate it as high as that. If I went in there and I actually remembered my login to Rotten Tomatoes and I actually rated it, I would assume, you know, my rating to land at around 70%. You know, I shot lower for the audience because I didn't think that they were going to come out and vote as high as they did for Fresh, but 85% is pretty effing good.
Yeah, that's really good for a comedy because, and I think a lot of it maybe has to do with this is really early Sandler. And I think once he gets around like the 2000 mark, people have kind of run thin a little bit with his shtick, like you say. And that's when he started getting reviewed really terribly. And even the audience score would be split, which is why I think eventually he ended up making that jump to Netflix where he really doesn't have to deal with that anymore. And he's even said that in interviews that, you know, it's taken a lot of the stress off of him. And, you know, he's glad he doesn't have to do all the press that he used to do. You know, he still does some because they still have to market the film, but not nearly as much as he did if it was like a Universal picture.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that's sort of what Netflix is taking away from the film industry as a whole. I mean, don't you agree that like Netflix has become this giant monster that can just spit out movies and we're all sort of just sitting on our couch hypnotized by the red glow that we see? It doesn't matter what it is, you know, we're going to tune in and they're going to report the numbers however they want. That I think that there's a little bit less prestige to the fact that an actor gets to be an actor. They get to strut their stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, boo or yay to having to do an international press junket, because I'm sure that's tedious. But I think that there's a little bit of earned, you have to earn it. Whereas now Netflix, they're just churning stuff out and they just spit it onto our TV sets and we watch it. We tune in and we watch it because why not?
I will say in defense to that, it did seem like Netflix did a lot of that for Bright. Because I felt like I saw Will Smith everywhere. And maybe that's his personality, though, where he said, if we're going to do this, let's do it like we normally do. And Adam Sandler, maybe his is a more laid-back approach. I don't really want to do this, but, you know, whatever you guys think. You want me to go on, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, then I'll go on Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know.
But, you know, I don't disagree with you what you're saying about Bright, but I almost feel like they took a stance on production of Bright as if they were a studio. And, you know, they brought in Landis, they had Will Smith, like everything about it was as big as they could possibly get it. So
yeah,
to me, that makes sense. And I mean, Will Smith is that kind of actor that his grind is, you know, going out there and promoting and promoting and promoting. And Adam Sandler's grind has always been filming, filming, filming. I mean, Will Smith isn't known for a new movie every year, right?
That definitely correct. If he does do them, then they're usually spaced out like a year and a half. I can't think of any time when he like just churned them out one after another. Maybe early in his career, but not since he's been a massive star post Fresh Prince days.
Right, and but there's so many massive stars that are like that. Like Tom Cruise, how often does he come out with a movie? And when he does,
every
he
year.
Turns and he burns. You know?
Yeah.
And his movies are always consistently not necessarily well received, but well watched at least.
Especially internationally. He kills it with international box office. I'm pretty sure nobody would show up for, he could make $1 in the US. He'd do 200 foreign and they'd go, well, smash it. Let's do the sequel. So let's hear from some of the critics here. I've got a couple and one familiar name. Lewis Parks of the Houston Chronicle said, Sandler plays this a lot smarter than, say, a Jim Carrey character, and with less slapstick. Still, this is not delicate, subtle stuff. It's smart, lowbrow, and only for those who like their humor a bit offbeat. What do you think of Mr. Parks' remarks here?
I think, for me, the part when he compares it to it not being a Jim Carrey shtick, really hits it on the head. And I think that's kind of like what we've been hinting at a little bit about when Adam Sandler gets a little bit too heavy, or even we mentioned Chris Farley and Will Ferrell, like that there's Jim Carrey's shtick Jim Carrey couldn't pull this role off, but Adam Sandler could, and he does. And I completely agree with what he says.
Now we've got our resident 80s, 90s film critic here. Robert Ebert said, the Happy Gilmore character is strange. I guess we're supposed to like him. He loves his grandma and wins the heart of the pretty public relations lady who tries to teach him to control his temper. Yet, as played by Sandler, he doesn't have a pleasing personality. He seems angry even when he's not supposed to be, and his habit of pounding everyone he dislikes is tiring in a PG-13 movie. Ebert gave it 1.5 out of 4 stars and a thumbs down. Any thoughts on Mr. Ebert?
See, that's definitely what I thought, that most critics would respond with that sort of distaste for, you know, Sandler's comedic efforts, because it is repetitive. But the story in itself is, you know, I think that he's overlooking the story, which is pretty solid. It's pretty original. It's pretty straightforward. And I think it shines.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to discussing that in the full episode and talking about the story and what their goals are, and I'll have you come at it from a writing standpoint, because I do think there's a story behind this, and it's something that I think a lot of people can relate to. Now, not everybody can just become a professional athlete, but it's a nice story about a kid who's ultimately just trying to save his grandma's house and do the right thing for her. So let's jump into our poll topic for the week. This is going to come out third week of February, and we're going to be doing movies that have a trilogy. So we're going to be doing the original of a movie that has at least 2 sequels to it. And we're going to have you guys vote, and we want to hear from you guys and what you want to hear us review. So the first topic here, the first movie you can vote on is going to be the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. JD, what might we cover if our audience selects TMNT?
So we're definitely going to have some Corey Feldman action. We're going to see a lot of pizza. If I'm not mistaken, it's Domino's pizza. That is just
it
everywhere.
It is Domino's. Yep.
We're going to see some Sweet Karate action. We're going to see some Shredder. And if I'm not mistaken, is this the one with Super Shredder?
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken again, Super Shredder is played by Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, big sexy.
So we get to drop some power bombs down on the audience.
Too sweet, as they would say. Number 2, speaking of karate, will be The Karate Kid, the 1984 martial arts movie about the young Daniel, played by Ralph Macchio. What might we cover if our audience selects The Karate Kid?
Definitely going to have some sweet Halloween costumes going on. Get to see one of my all-time favorite villains, Kreese, and then, you know, Johnny Lawrence.
Sweep the leg.
I almost said Billy Lawrence. all-time villains with, you know, Johnny Lawrence, sweep the leg. And I think that this Karate Kid spawns, to me, you know, the sequel to Karate Kid, which I hope we never do. Part two is really not that good, but if we ever get to part three and we ever get to Terry Silver, now that is a villain that I can tip my hat to every day.
Absolutely. I'd suffer through number two to get to three.
Then skip the next Karate Kid and never do the Jaden Smith version.
That's a deal. Number three is The Three Ninjas, the 1992 action comedy family movie about three brothers who go to visit their grandfather. What might we cover if we jump into some Three Ninjas?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and be bold and say, like, I've seen each Three Ninjas movie maybe one time.
Okay.
I know Tom Tom. I know Rocky Loves Emily. Is that
no,
correct?
No, you got it. That's perfect. Then we got Colt.
And the other one.
Rocky Colt and Tum Tum.
I would be bold enough to say if that's the winner, we might have to call in a ringer and get a third person in on that chat. Justin Bronson, being the resident Three Ninjas expert that I know, might be a great addition to that episode.
Good. I like it. Yeah, that's actually a movie that I really like. Growing up, I watched it 100 times.
In my experience, you're either a Three Ninjas person or a Surf Ninjas person. And ooh, I was
but
a Surf
I was
Ninjas
both,
person.
Though.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you also had Jordans, you piece of garbage.
And then the last one, number four, and I believe this is the second time we've had him on a poll topic here. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the 1989 adventure comedy about a scientist father who accidentally shrinks his kids and the neighbor's kids and has to find them in the backyard. What might we cover if we get into the Rick Moranis 1989 film Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Oh, definitely a lot of Moranis. I mean, the Zelinsky impressions that we're going to be doing. I mean, I think... If I could implore you guys to vote for anything, please let us do our first Rick Moranis movie, and then we can leverage that into Big Giants. Little
Ooh,
Giants, damn it.
No, that sounds like a great idea. I'd love to do some Rick Moranis. Of course, at some point, we're going to be covering him in Ghostbusters as Louis Tully, which I can't wait.
Agreed.
Awesome. So that's it. Go to the Twitter right now. We are at Back in Time Pod, and vote on our poll topic. Again, you can choose between Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Karate Kid, Three Ninjas, or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You guys vote. We review. It'll be a fun time. Our other social media accounts are up and running as well on Instagram at Back in Time Pod, Facebook, just search Back in Time Podcast, give us a like on there, and our website is backintimepod.wordpress.com. All episodes are up on iTunes. Get in there, check out our archives. We've got a little bit of everything. We've got comedy, we've got action. Well, we haven't got into too much drama, but there's definitely some great horror movies on there if you're into that. And we know you are because we polled you and you all said mostly that you want to hear horror movies. So indulge us, go back into those, listen to the archives. But that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. The full episode for Happy Gilmore will drop on Wednesday. Again, subscribe on iTunes, rate, review, and give us a little 5-star that helps us grow the podcast. But for now, we're going to hop back into the DeLorean and return to present day. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Shooter, bang, bang!